Zelango, this is Connecticut Taco. What you're about to hear is a Human Rights Radio exclusive presentation that was first aired Wednesday, October 3rd, 2001 at 11:30 p.m. entitled The Human Rights Patrol Part 6, Get Paid. Your guest will be out of the criminal enterprise called Chatham, Illinois, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, professor in spite of the criminal operation called the University of Illinois at Springfield, Mike Townsend. Out of the criminal enterprise called Buffalo City, New York, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, author of Who Needs and Black in White America, Sidney Wilhelm. Your host will be out of the criminal enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, runaway slave, Kaka Mbana Kentaco. Have a pleasant flight.
That's right, right, that our birth. is up in this land, it is clear.
Our folks are still held hostage, won't ask questions, ruled by fear.
See, Uncle Sam does know he owes our folk a big time debt. He knows his lies can't help him, truth's our weapon, we'll collect. We're talking reparations, that's right, we know we are old.
Cause for 11 generations, in here we were bought and sold.
People's Choice, Human Rights Radio on www.pirateradio@about.com and our 4,488th night of broadcasting here in the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield. It's time for the Human Rights Patrol coming up out of the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, a Human Rights Radio exclusive presentation. And in the studios with us tonight out of the Criminal Enterprise called Chatham, Illinois, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, teacher, professor in spite of the criminal operation called the University of Illinois at Springfield, good white source Michael Townsend. And Zalango to you, Michael.
Zalango.
Welcome to the internet, right?
That's right.
And also out of the criminal enterprise called Buffalo City, New York, is war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, author of a couple books, in particular, Who Needs the Negro, Black and White America, good white source Sydney Wilhelm. And Sydney, welcome to the internet with Human Rights Radio.
Pleasure to be here.
If y'all had been listening to the criminal enterprise called Springfield, Sydney and Michael are kind of regular guests at Human Rights Radio. We have all kind of conversations. And in light of the events of September 2000, we invited them to come on the show here to share with y'all some conversation that I'm going to tell you right off top. I've had an opportunity to talk about this with these cats, and they're probably the only two white cats in the country talking like this. So y'all going to be very interested in what they're going to talk about with reference to the potential for getting paid as a consequence of the events of September 11, 2001. And that's what we're going to talk about, the getting paid. There's a lot of folks going to get paid behind this thing. And we're not minimizing the loss of life, not by no stretch of your imagination or anybody's imagination. But we need to look at, because there are people still living, and they have to make decisions on what they're going to do to change circumstances so, you know, events like this don't visit folks again, right? So we're going to talk about some things, and don't take it out of context. Take it for what you can find value in. But we think you're going to be very much interested in what they're going to say. Michael, why don't you kick it up?
Okay. Maybe I can start by saying that one of the hard realities that we have to face after an incident, well, I don't mean to trivialize it by calling it an incident, by the apparently 6,000 deaths that occurred in New York of people that apparently were innocent victims, is that now that that's happened, what's the response going to be? And I don't mean just militarily, but people from different places are going to see this as an opportunity, as sad as that sounds, to push their agendas. And the Bush administration is going to be at the forefront of doing that. And after the sympathies are offered to the unfortunate families and victims and so on, it's going to be back to the road race. And I was telling Ben and Sydney earlier that I hate to use sports analogies, but when those towers went down, it was almost like a, if you'll imagine a football game where the line blocks out the other line so that running backs in the backfield can take the ball and race through. Now, usually they're button heads and the runner gets 2 or 3 yards or whatever. But when those towers went down, if you imagine this as a football game, it was like blasting a big hole in that line that was trying to stop you. And that runner is on a like on an 80-yard run downfield. That's the way I see the Bush administration using this incident to push their own agenda, which, by the way, was encountering considerable resistance before September the 11th.
Just talk about a little bit of the resistance for the Internet audience, because, you know, we talked about that at the Human Rights Radio Network, but you all haven't shared, we haven't shared the list of things that they were dealing with prior to September 11th. Well, they're illegal seizing Sydney, of the White House.
I'll let Sydney talk about the this administration's agenda.
Go ahead, Sydney.
Well, as we know, that their objective is to gain as much wealth into their hands as humanly possible.
And if that don't work, they'll do it beastly.
Sometimes inhumanly.
Yes. They'll do it beastly if that don't work, right?
Exactly. So it's not that they're greedy.
It's that's beyond
the fact
that.
That they want it all.
There you go.
So what were they doing before that? Well, one, of course, we know is the taxation system. Mm-hmm. So they were changing the taxes so that corporations would pay less and so that wealthy individuals would pay less, mm-hmm. and then they threw a few crumbs to a few people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the name. And so they're going to get back to that agenda and use the present crisis situation to try to promote that. And what are they going to promote? Well, they're going to try to reduce specifically the capital gains tax.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we really need to be very careful about this, because capital gains taxes are really paid by people who make a lot of wealth selling property, like stocks and bonds.
Mm-hmm. Some people may not companies. Know what the capital gains tax is.
It's a tax on profits that are made.
Okay.
And so when you sell a business or you're in business and you make a profit, there's a tax on the income from that. That's known as capital gains tax. It's tax placed upon profits. When you sell stocks, if you make a profit on that, that's capital gain, and you do that. Same with regard to bonds.
Just as working people yes. get taxed on the income that they make from working.
Yes, that's earnings.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Those are tax on earnings. And they want to reduce the taxes on capital gains because this is where the great wealth is generated.
Everybody don't get to buy and sell stuff. So this is it seems like their tax program is targeting the folks that have a little left something a little left, right?
What would be your guess as to what percent of the population could claim capital gains tax exemptions?
Yes, it has gone up. It depends on how you want to define mm-hmm. that. If you define it as private ownership, the percentage hasn't changed all that much in recent times. But if you consider, for example, like the retirement programs that mm-hmm. are people in, the 401k, they go into mutual funds, which they don't technically own, but the stocks, mm-hmm. but they own interest in those mutual funds. So mm-hmm. if you include those as stock ownership, the percentage has gone up. But the elite, the top 10 particular, basically own like 80% of all the stocks like this.
So if those taxes go down, then the very top people in terms of wealth in the society are going to get the
yes.
lion's share of
exactly.
the tax cut.
That's yes. consistent with who the type of folks that help Bush get in, isn't it?
Exactly, and then more wealth will go to them. Now, there's something that's very important on this, and if that is done, if there's a significant reduction in the capital gains tax, watch for the consequences of that. And this is a prediction that would be certain, that the economy itself will be put in jeopardy. And if they do not then reverse themselves, as they did with Reagan when he cut the taxes, really, they went back and increased the taxes. Same with Bush. He reduced, the first President Bush, he reduced the taxes. And you remember, read my lips, his mm-hmm. dedication,
yeah.
went back and he signed a legislation increasing the taxes. Now, if they cut the capital gains taxes again this year and they do not reverse themselves, then watch this prediction. It will mean the collapse, not a drop in the economy, but a collapse of the
Sydney,
economy.
Sydney, I haven't heard a word about this since September 11th, 2001. That was convenient, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
I mean, it was really convenient.
Yes.
Do they got that kind of karma, the Bushes? You know that, you know, they could have such a come up after such a, you know, such a situation to go down?
Well, they've been awfully lucky people, and it's not just luck, because We don't know the full story yet, but there's a lot more to this story than what we know, and it will come out just like it's coming out about Bush and the troops in the Panama.
Well, you pointed out a Wall Street Journal article on Human Rights Radio dealing with Bush's relationship with the Bin Laden family.
Oh, yes, yes. And it could very well be that that's the reason why Bin Laden came to be so powerful in Afghanistan, mm-hmm. is because of the fact that he was in having business dealings with both Bushes.
The Bush family, three yes. generations have a tradition yeah. of working with terrorists, don't they?
Oh, definitely.
How far does that go back?
That I don't know. I don't know the history of that very well.
But I mean, you know, at least we know World War II with Prescott.
Yes. Oh, yes. Well, he was very close to Hitler.
Right.
Prescott Bush was very close, and he was a strong supporter of Hitler.
Of course, George I and Manuel Noriega. Noriega sits around with him with his red underwear on, right?
Yes.
So they were pretty close.
Very.
And so here's Bin Laden with GW, right?
Yes. Yes.
Well, let's get back to the administration agenda again. So they're going to cut taxes. They see this as an opportunity because
yes.
of the unity of the society that they claim exists now, 92% approval rating for Bush. They see it as an opportunity to get through some things that they would have had a difficult time getting through before September the 11th. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So taxes is one
yeah.
to benefit the wealthy. What other agendas do they have?
Well, the other would be this very major and foremost on the mind with regard to trade agreements, these new trade agreements. And they won't fast tracks on the new mm-hmm. trade treaties.
And they were going to have trouble with that. But
yes.
now?
Are there any more protests about that?
Oh, yes.
Are they still going on protest against the trade agreements? Or is that coming
yes.
to the United thing now?
Yes. No. No. This movement is building up substantially.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike the anti-war movement, there was some international mm-hmm. movement, but it was each country kind of doing its own thing. But with this new anti-globalization movement, I call it the new movement,
mm-hmm.
that
Reclaim the Earth movement.
It's international. Mm-hmm. It's genuinely international mm-hmm. because all countries are being affected by these.
Oh, no, no, man. It's something that's, I think that's what made it international. As much as people wanted to deny it, they're running one program. Right?
Yes.
They're running one program, and yes. it's the anti-humanity program.
Yes.
But the resistance that was building to the World Bank and the International, the World Trade Organization.
Blah, in this blah, country blah, in particular.
Isn't a wet blanket going to be thrown on that resistance and demonstration by what happened in New York?
How you look in the streets now?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
There must have been a great relief in one way.
I mean, like, hey, we ain't got to hear this stuff about housing mm-hmm. costs. We ain't got to hear this stuff about prescription drug prices.
We don't have to see 50,000 people in the streets any longer.
We don't have to hear this about police brutality, a deterioration of the school system. You don't have to hear nothing no more. Everybody's united now in ignorance and suffering.
Yeah, but I think the repression is going to be immediate and forceful.
Oh, they're going to come with the stick, you think?
For a very good reason.
Why?
If you go back in the civil rights movement, mm-hmm. you know, we know they had the COINTELPRO program.
Right, right.
Okay, now, the brunt of that program was really directed at the Black Panthers.
True. That, without a doubt, they wrote it.
Yes.
We don't have to speculate. It's wrote it.
Okay. Now, the reason you have to ask yourself why they became the victim. I mean, Malcolm X, who was, you know, going around preaching racial antagonism,
mm-hmm.
of get at whitey, mm-hmm. anti-white. They didn't touch. They didn't touch.
In fact, in the early days, he was on H.L. Hunt's radio.
Yes.
55 stations in the country. Most people don't know that.
And then you have Martin Luther King, and he wasn't touched.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was talking about harmony and bringing the races together. Mm-hmm. And his initial agenda was one of race and, mm-hmm. and civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
But from the very beginning, the Black Panthers caught it because they had an economic program.
There you go. They were going to shake up the division of wealth.
Yes.
They straight up said it.
And so they had to address the Black Panthers because the Black Panthers raised the fundamental economic issues.
Well, you know, my point.
And then when King
mm-hmm. tried, they
raised the economic issues of economic justice,
mm-hmm.
then he was assassinated.
That's right.
And then when Malcolm X began to shift out of the anti-racial
right.
formulation.
He was assassinated.
He was assassinated. So now let me complete this trend of thought. So now the new movement, what some people call the anti-globalization movement, starts off, it's on economic grounds.
Mm-hmm. Straight off
economic top. Issues. And yeah. so you know people are going to be repressed. You know people are going to be killed. And we got that flavor in Genoa, mm-hmm. Italy, when you had the assaults by the police and they went right in on these people who were protesting, peaceful protests.
Where they say they learned that tactic, those tactics at?
Well, you answer that.
They said they learned it here in the U.S.
There you go.
I mean, as ruthless as it was, they said, hey, we went to special class. They said, where y'all go? U.S.
So they were trying to figure out a way, how can we get control of these demonstrations? Every place we meet, we got 40,000 yes. people in the streets. And they finally agreed to meet in a tiny Middle Eastern country out in the desert so that they could avoid yes. demonstrators.
Yes.
Because it hurt the legitimacy when they were meeting like in Seattle, Quebec, or was it Toronto?
Let me expand on what
Quebec
you,
City.
Quebec City. To have to cordon off with barbed wire fence.
Yes.
You know, thousands of people. Keep Stevie them outside.
Saying. The significance of this is that it is addressing the economic stuff. See?
Yes.
They don't care about those other demonstrations.
No.
And that's why they're so ruthless in their attack on Human Rights Radio. Yes. When you... See, Henry Ford's strategy to keep profit up, he said it, I keep hungry men at the gate. The Panthers, anybody talk about human rights, they're talking about off top, everybody has a right to a decent place to stay, decent food, and decent clothing. Well, that messes up this social order.
Yes, it does.
It messes it up.
Yes.
So this is a convenient, you know what I mean?
Yeah. What I'm suggesting is that the repression is likely to take the form of claiming that these demonstrations
are
terrorist
for sure.
Activities. They're
yes.
incited. They're infiltrated by terrorists. We can't have that many people together in light of what happened
right.
in New York at any place, mm-hmm. especially the leaders of the world.
Well, what got canceled
anybody
in New York.
That opposes this is going to have to be seen as an enemy of the state, right?
Yes.
I've
yes.
read somewhere that the folks that came from South Africa's racism conference, they was all kind of pumped up when they got back. And I'd have to think that there are probably some plans for some activities at the UN a meeting that was scheduled to take place here in the fall of 2001. That got canceled. The World Bank was supposed to meet in New York. That got canceled.
No, there, Washington, D.C.
Is that where they're supposed to? They canceled it, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, look, isn't that convenient? I mean, because see, there's a problem with dissent. You don't control how much dissent people bring you if you allow any. You see what I'm saying?
But now they're going to be able to bring these meetings back to the major
metropolitan
areas.
Oh, yeah, you can't get out there now.
And not have to worry about
right.
40,000 people in the
right.
streets. Or if there are people in the streets and they come out with the police force, which they quite likely will,
and they
they'll
will.
Have the backing
of everybody.
Of the mass of American people mm-hmm. because
yes.
of September the 11th.
And you have.
We got to hang together mm-hmm. As a people or we're going to go down
mm-hmm.
and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to delegitimize the
any protest.
The demonstration.
Any protest.
Right.
Any opposition. You can't get mad about rent. I mean, look at the dang old gas thing that went right down after that went down.
And, you know, these demonstrators were getting a lot of sympathetic
support very much.
From the general population,
sure.
from unions and so on. And that's what the power structure saw as being extremely dangerous in terms of their position.
As long as what you're proposing does not mess up with the distribution of wealth, they don't protest all day.
Right.
But when you start talking about the cash flow, they don't talk about that.
That's right. But even when the economic issues were being protested, they were gaining supporters in the general population that were not out in the streets,
right.
but were sympathetic to seeing peaceful demonstrators being
yes.
bludgeoned by the police.
Michael, exactly. I made this point to you that with all the whites in the streets on this World Bank thing and how they have propagandized blacks into this self-hate thing, seeing whites in the street legitimized protest in this country. You see what I mean? When they made this move, that's it. That's it. The protest is over. I believe that in my heart, and I think... They're not that good. Their karma ain't that good that they had that kind of come up.
And so what we're suggesting is that the towers going down in New York has opened up this opportunity for the elite now to delegitimize the opposition to the economic conditions in the world and in the country.
You don't got no communists now.
And they're going to have, the repression is going to be, in the short run at least,
mm-hmm.
supported by the people. And as we were talking about later, if that support of the administration of Bush being 92, there's no way it can remain that way. And he engages in these, pushing these agendas, that if necessary, that the elite itself will trigger, quote, terrorist incidents in this country on our land to scare the people, keep that so-called unity through fear mm-hmm. together, keep mm-hmm. support of the police repressing whoever the hell they have to, mm-hmm. wherever mm-hmm. they have mm-hmm. To protect us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Crisis management. Crisis management. I mean, they got all the infrastructure in place. We talked about this before. I know Steve Coakley out of Chicago, he always asked, he always said, I know sometimes the folks in charge got to scratch their head at the level of tolerance that the population in this country has. But they got to wonder at this point with the way things are so unevenly divided, somebody's going to get mad. They got to think. So I think a lot of this is a preemptive strike. You know what I'm saying? It's sure going to put them in a good situation with their military. Not that it's going to change anything, because I'm a firm believer in greater powers than them. But
so really, this is an opportunity to push the global agenda.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
And not only push it, I mean to get it really up and running.
Well, look at all the folks got fired in the aftermath. And how many days, if you got a small business, can you wait for your supplies to come in before you have to give your money to the rich? Huh? Give your business to the rich. How many people did they break with the gas? I think everybody notices over the last year, utility bills going up double now in 1 year. But you can't even talk about it.
Well, what they also, of course, is that they've shifted the economic philosophy, too.
In what way? Break that up.
Well, they used to go into the notion you have to encourage production mm-hmm. and give tax breaks mm-hmm. for the people who are going to invest their money into mm-hmm. production. But now they're insisting, well, you have to stimulate the economy, get people out there buying, because they realize that
get on
two-thirds,
an airplane.
Yes.
Well, isn't that instructive?
And two-thirds of the economy is generated by people out there buying.
Well, that's instructive that, you know, with $12,000 per debt per household, that they would tell folks to go out and buy something.
Yes.
I mean, come on, man. Give the people a break.
Well, if you give the capital gains tax, then the economy is not going to be any better off, because mm-hmm. if you give a person $1 million, what are they going to do with it? You can't go in the stock market, because that's too risky mm-hmm. now.
You're talking about giving millionaires $1 million.
Yes.
Right. So what's a millionaire going to do with another million?
What do they do with the first million?
He's not going to go out there and invest it into a new factory.
Does he need another refrigerator?
Yeah.
Does he need another car?
No.
No.
And
well,
so what is it going to do for the economy? Mm-hmm. But absolutely kill it.
Well, are they so greedy that they're blinded by their greed?
Michael,
and
don't
not
ask
be able
that.
To see
Michael,
what,
don't ask. Don't
they're
ask.
Not blinded. They know exactly what they're doing.
Exactly. That's it.
They know exactly
they
what
are.
They're doing.
They are.
Because this is another gimmick to funnel the wealth up to the top, regardless of the consequences.
But
the
if
bottom.
You say that the economy is going to crash if they do that, then
yes.
aren't they going to end up...
The people who are very wealthy will basically remain wealthy.
We'll take them to the Depression.
Yeah.
Henry Ford made chump change in the Depression, and they said at first, the worst year, he made $30 million. Henry Ford, $30 million in the Depression.
So what you're saying is when you say the economy is going to crash, it's not going to crash for the elite.
Oh, no.
They don't set it up for that.
No.
Either. They didn't set it up for that. It's
no.
What it means is...
So then we're really going to move to the feudal system.
Yes, indeed.
Well,
absolutely.
Would it be more like we won't be able to deny that the feudal system is in vogue?
Well, if we won't
US?
Be able to deny it, then it'll be too late.
Well, it's pretty clear.
Yes.
When you look at the recent data on wealth distribution, I mean, you know, hey, you can't run nothing like this, man, forever.
And the only thing that's left then is power for the people, for the masses of the people.
Mm-hmm.
They have only power.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you get into a power struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than into an economic struggle.
Right. Well, that's what they would. They want you to get into a duke it out battle with them, because they've been building missiles and stuff for that kind of battle. But I truly in my heart know that this battle is a right and wrong battle. And if we learn about what's right and be about that business, we can neutralize these forces. You know, I don't give them autonomy. I can't give them autonomy and then, you know, think that there could be another power. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They don't have autonomy. They are not independent of the same forces that hold the sun into place. You know what I'm saying?
So the United States is going to begin, if that happens, the United States is going to resemble even more
of a military state.
What do they call it? The national security state. Is that what we're moving into? The national security state.
Well, but you do. But that's the militarization is just part of the feudal.
Right. If you got feudalism, you got to have a military part.
Okay. Talk about the rest of it. Talk about the other aspects of feudalism.
Sidney, go ahead.
Well, where people get isolated off from one another, you don't have what
Wait. You like a high price of telephone calls and high price of driving a car?
Well, you just don't have cars anymore. You don't have automobiles anymore because you don't have any income. Mm-hmm. You don't have jobs. Mm-hmm. When you have an economic collapse, the laboring people don't have jobs. Mm-hmm. Without jobs, they don't have income. Without income, they can't have automobiles. They can't have houses. You know, their whole standard of living goes down. And they either are going to have to accept that fate and just become passive and suffer physically in their whole life, and their health goes
day
down.
To day.
Starve, having no medical treatments whatsoever because they don't have the money to pay the doctor, and there's no public welfare program.
Right.
And
it
then
sounds like a science fiction novel.
It sounds like as sound ugly like as it could get,
it doesn't
don't
sound
it?
Like it could be reality.
Well, so was the bombing attack on the towers. It looked like a science fiction movie.
It
looked like really what it reminded me of is Orson Welles, you know.
Well, I told you on the network that you know, to me, I compare those images. I didn't get to see them, but it seems like, you know, the picture of the boys pointing across the street at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis.
Yes.
The mushroom cloud over Port Chicago. Yes. It was one of those pictures that I have to think the demon was in it really deep. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They got a good come up behind it. Yes. And you look at all the folks that's been fired, you can't even talk about it, can you?
Okay, how about the, I'm going to bring us back to the agenda again. What about... Of course, we got the environment, and I imagine that the drilling will go ahead in the Alaskan wilderness and any place else offshore, blah, blah, blah. How's it going to affect our foreign relations?
Well, the agenda for foreign relations is very straightforward, just like it is internally, again, of plundering countries. I mean, really plunder, to take and extract all the wealth that is there that is beneficial to the elite. And they want to change the whole economy of all the countries throughout the world into one of basically of being third world countries, basically being agriculture, basically having minimal kind of economy so it can be easier to control those countries. Look at what has happened to Russia.
Well, you know, time is
since
time,
I beg your pardon?
Time is going to tell about all this.
Oh, yes.
And speaking of time, we done ran out of time for this edition of the Human Rights Patrol. It ain't like Human Rights Radio. We could talk all day and night. We got about 20-some-odd minutes to run down enough information. Y'all have some closing comments y'all want to share? We definitely invite y'all back on.
We need to continue this sometime.
Let's do that. And, Sydney, you know, look forward
maybe
to
maybe we can
back
set up one of those telephone triangles that you do sometimes.
Well, we're always available. Yeah. And we can set it up on the internet, and folks that are listening to www.pirateradioatabout.com can download it, like you can download this program. Remind y'all in the studios with us this afternoon out of the criminal enterprise called Chatham, Illinois, is war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, professor in spite of the criminal operation called the University of Illinois at Springfield. Good White Source, Michael Townsend, and also here out of the criminal enterprise called Buffalo City, New York, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, author of a couple books, Who Needs the Negro, Black and White America. Good White Source, Sidney Wilhelms at the night desk. I'm in Bannock and Taco, and you're listening to the Human Rights Patrol. This is part number 6, I believe it is, and you're listening to the People's Choice, the Human Rights Information Network.
We will remember the humanity.
We will remember the humanity.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
We will strive to bring new values.
We will strive to bring new values.
And new life to our people.
And new life to our people.
We will have peace and harmony among us.
Among us.
We will be loving,
sharing,
and creative. We will work,
study,
and listen,
so we may learn,
so we may teach. We will cultivate self-reliance. We will struggle to resurrect and unify our homeland. We will raise many children for our nation. We will have discipline, patience, devotion, and courage. We will live as models to provide new direction for our people. We will be free and self-determining. We are African people. Aluta!
Aluta!
Continua!
Continua!
Kufala!
Kufala!